Well, we do live in sobering times. The world, including our nation, is living under an avalanche of curses because basically we've rejected God and God's commandments. God's commandments have been rejected by our federal and state governments, been rejected by the Supreme Courts in favor of political correctness and false ideas of men. Schools have been mandated to throw out the Ten Commandments and replace them with the philosophies of sinful human beings. Most churches have rejected the Ten Commandments and replaced them with doctrines of men, proclaiming that the commandments of God are a burden. That's their gripe, they say. You know, the commandments are not the burden. Sin is the burden. It's not the Ten Commandments. Sin is the burden. This world has systematically rejected God's commandments because they want to do what they want to do without restrictions. That's why they reject it. That's what we see in this world today, a world that is moved and led by a carnal mind that is hostile to God, which every human being has, without God's Spirit. And even with God's Spirit, you still have that mind you have to overcome. But it's in a mind that is not subject to God's law and openly rejects God's law. And as a result, the world has set their mind on evil, violence, and perversion. This Thursday, France had another terrorist attack. A man with a semi-trailer killed at least 84 people, injured over 200, and about 50 are still fighting for their lives with severe injuries. And many of the dead are young children and teenagers. And what kind of a mind would take a semi and just run over as many people as they can? Well, as we heard in the first message, you know, the mind of Satan is very active. And that's Satan working through people in this world. So far this year in the United States, there have been over 1,700 fatalities caused by road rage in this country. People either shoot you, run over you, they kill you because of road rage. You pull out in front of somebody, people just explode. Living on the edge, and they just explode. In a world that has rejected God's laws, is it any wonder that our world is coming apart at the seams? Is it any wonder? Can a nation reject God's laws and still be blessed spiritually? Not possible. It is not possible. Can a human being reject God's laws and have a positive relationship with God? It's not possible. It's not possible. God has already had to destroy humanity once because of humanity's proclivity to yield to evil and reject God. God started over with 8 people, Noah's family, and he repopulated the earth from Noah's family. We find out now that we're in the same condition as in Noah's time. We're living in the same times as Noah's was. A time of great violence, bloodshed, and great evil on this earth. People are spinning out of control with no moral compass to guide their steps because they've rejected God. We understand that the whole world is under Satan's influence. And what does Satan want to do? He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy God's plan. It's ironic that Noah's Ark has just been completed as a theme park. Has anyone heard about that? It's a replica of Noah's Ark that was built with the same dimensions as the Ark. You can look this up on a website. It's called Ark Encounter. Ark Encounter. But it's an amazing structure that was built to replicate the dimensions of the original Ark. It opened on July 7th in 2016. It's in Williamstown, Kentucky, on I-75 as you're going towards Cincinnati, north of Lexington, about 75 miles. I used to work in that county. I started out working in that county in 1976, or 75 maybe. It's not cheap. Tickets for adults are $40, $31 for seniors, $28 for ages 5 to 12, and children under 5 are free. But the dimensions of the ark are based on Genesis 6 and verse 15, which was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Using a cubic is the measure of the tip of your elbow to the top here. They use a long cubic, which is 20 inches, 20.4 inches. That's about 20 inches from my arm. And the one they used for building the ark is called the long cubic, and it was 20.4 inches. So the dimensions of this building comes out to 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, and 51 feet high. So it's an amazing structure. It took them several years to build. But atheists and haters of God are protesting this like mad. They hate it because it reminds them that with God comes justice. And they hate that. They don't want to hear about God's justice on this earth. It's important for God's people that we are never fooled about the need to keep and follow God's commandments. Now, sin is a transgression of God's law. God's law is a spiritual, perfect, holy, just, and good. There's absolutely nothing wrong. It's totally pure with God's law. It's good. God's law is based on two great principles, love toward God and love toward neighbor. What is wrong with that? What's wrong with that? But a carnal mind rejects that, doesn't it? The carnal mind rejects that. The Ten Commandments expound these foundational principles of God's law of love. God's spiritual laws have been in effect from the beginning, long before Mount Sinai. They were just codified in Mount Sinai, but the laws were in effect from the beginning. They're spiritual laws that God created, that God made, that God lives by. It's a way of life. Obedience to God's laws produce happiness, peace of mind. Boy, this world would like peace of mind, but they don't want to do what brings it. Disobedience to God's law produces misery, strife, heartache, and ultimately eternal death. Breaking any part of God's law brings us under the penalty of death. But those who love God and seek eternal life will strive to keep God's commandments. Well, today I want to give you four reasons for keeping God's commandments. Four reasons for keeping God's commandments. Point number one, keeping God's commandments helps us avoid curses and receive God's blessings. Keeping God's commandments helps us avoid curses and receive God's blessings. Turn to Deuteronomy 11. We'll start with verse 26. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today and go after other gods which you have not known." You know, God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. But the ball is in our court. God says He'll bless us if. But the ball is in your court. We have to choose if we really want God's blessings or if we want the curses from disobedience. God wants to bless us, but we have to choose because character is involved. Character is involved. And that's what God is replicating. Character. His mind. His character. That's what He's working through all this pain and suffering that humans are experiencing. There's a purpose behind it. And that purpose is character. God's going to make a man gold with character. Those who come through and choose the right way are going to have character of gold like God. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. Over a few pages. God said, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Forever. God's blessings go through to eternity. He wants to bless us to eternity, through eternity. God wants to bless the children that He created. If we will listen to God's instructions, God will show us the path that leads to blessings. Psalm 119, 165. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. But Psalm 119, 165 is a scripture that this world will someday really appreciate. They don't appreciate it now, but someday they will really appreciate the reading and hearing these words. It says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Someday they will appreciate those words. They don't appreciate these words now. They reject these words now. But someday they're going to appreciate and hold fast to these words. Peace of mind is a great blessing God wants us to enjoy. But blessings have conditions. Those blessings have conditions. We must learn to love God and love His law before we can have that peace of mind. God wants to give us peace of mind. He wants to give us, it says, great peace. Not just peace, great peace. But we must choose. 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. It says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven, and He is a shield to all who trust in Him." A shield is a blessing. A shield from Satan is a blessing. God wants us to trust in Him, because He will provide that protection for us. He will provide a shield for us. Yes, God will allow some people to die in the end and be martyred for God's name's sake. But there are times when God will also provide a shield of protection too. God will do what He sees best for each and every one of us. If He decides He's going to protect us, there's no force on earth can keep God from protecting you. And if God's going to let us die for His name's sake, then we'll die for God's name's sake. But God will provide a shield of protection for those who trust in God and follow Him. Now, that is a tremendous blessing. That's a tremendous blessing. King David's final instructions to his son Solomon before he died are very noteworthy. 1 Kings 2, verses 1 through 3. 1 Kings 2, verses 1 through 3. I'll read that. It says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, 'I go to the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, and His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn.'" That applies to us today. That still applies to God's people today. God wants us to prosper. He wants to bless us. That's what He's saying here. Here's the path. Here's the path to blessings. And He's talking about spiritual blessings as well as physically. But He's talking about spiritual blessings. King David knew that obeying God was vital to his spiritual prosperity and blessings from God. Moses understood that keeping God's commandments was for our good. In Deuteronomy 11, again, Deuteronomy 11 and verse 8. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 8. Moses wrote this. It says, "Therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today." Why? that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess. Verse 22 of Deuteronomy 8. It says, "For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God." Notice that keeping the commandments is tied to loving God. Notice that. "If you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to hold fast to Him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you and will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourself." Moses knew that God is the source of our spiritual strength and security. And to be spiritually strong, you must be careful to follow God's commandments and words. Physical and spiritual protection from Satan, from Satan's influence, is a tremendous blessing that God is willing to give His people. As we heard in the first message, we need spiritual protection from Satan because he's still active on this earth. God's going to remove him. We're looking forward to that day. We're praying for that day. But until that day comes, God's using Satan for His purpose. Now we've got to fight back and be able to stand. We have to look to God to show us the path. Isaiah understood what kind of attitude we need to follow a holy Creator God. What kind of attitude God wants us to have. Isaiah 66. Let's turn there. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest?" Verse 2. "For all those things my hand has made," He's the Creator, "and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." What is the value of trembling at God's word? What is the value of deeply respecting what God says? What is the value of humbling ourselves under God's authority? What is the value of that? Isaiah 55 gives the answer. Let's turn over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Isaiah 55 verse 7, it says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." What is the value? What value can we place on mercy and forgiveness? What value can we put on that? Mercy and forgiveness, they're great blessings from our Creator. And we all need them and we all want them. But there is a path to those blessings. And God is trying to show us that path. God reminds us that there is great value for embracing and keeping His commandments. Great value. Sometimes we stumble, but we need to get up and ask for God's forgiveness and go forward. Deuteronomy 10. God reminds us of this value in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways and to love Him?" See, walking with God, keeping His commandments, and to love Him, they go together. To love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today. Why? For your good. God's wanting to bless us. Why? Because He's a God of love. He wants to bless us. The commandments of God come from the mind of God. Whatever God commands us to do is for our benefit and for the benefit of others. God reveals His commandments and laws to us Why? So He can bless us. They're not a burden. They're a blessing to be able to know. They're blessings from a Creator God that loves His children, that wants the best for His children, that wants them to prosper. That's the reason He gives us His commandments. He gives us a choice. We can choose death if we want to. But He wants us to choose life. And this is the path to life. He says, this is the way. Walk in it. Point number two. Keeping God's commandments defines true love and righteousness. Keeping God's commandments defines true love and righteousness. You know, the world is very confused about the issues of godly love. The truth of the matter is, they don't care about godly love. People just want to do their own thing and put a label of love on it so they can justify any kind of crazy behavior. The world does not know what true love is. They have no idea about God's love. They're going to learn someday, but they don't know now. God's love has boundaries. It has absolute guidelines, and it's wrapped in righteousness as God defines righteousness. Matthew 7 and verse 12, Christ is speaking here. Matthew 7 verse 12. It says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So how do you want to be treated? With respect or rudely? You know, how do we want to be treated? Well, this is the golden rule that Christ said. We treat others the way we want to be treated. We all like being treated good. We all love ourselves, and we all want to be treated well. That's the way we're supposed to treat others. It's not hard to understand. Christ continues on in verses 13 and 14. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. That's the way the world's living. Broad is the way. Anything goes. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in it by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. Nobody said keeping the commandments were easy, but they're good for us. Nobody said going against this world is easy because the world's not keeping God's commandments. It's not, but it's good for us, and it leads to life. It's the right thing to do. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. It says, and there are few who find it. There are few in this age. In the age to come, there's going to be the whole. God's going to open the mind of all. And He's going to call the entire world. And then all who God's mind is open to, they will find the narrow way. It'll still be a narrow way. But it'll be many after Christ returns. But we're not living in that age now. We're living in the age where Satan is still ruling this earth. And few find it, it says. Few find the way of God's commandments. Christ instructs us that the narrow gate leads to life in the family of God. The narrow gate has boundaries, has absolute guidelines, but it leads to true godly love. And the narrow way is always wrapped in righteousness. It is always wrapped in righteousness because that's the way God lives. In Psalms 119, verses 172, Psalm 119, verse 172, says, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. See, God wouldn't give us anything that would hurt us. The commandments are righteousness. They're good for us. Good medicine. There are few in this age who are willing to travel through the narrow gate. But it is the gate that leads to godly love and righteousness. There's two scriptures. If you don't write anything else down during this message, there are two scriptures I want you to write down today. One of us right here. 1 John 5, verse 3 and 2, backwards. 1 John 5, verse 3 and 2. And 2 John 1, verse 6 and verse 5. 2 John 1, verse 6 and verse 5. I want to read the first one first. 1 John 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God. This is the love of God. You want to know what the love of God is? This is the love of God. that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. See, they're burdensome to the world because they don't want to keep God's commandments. For those who love God, they're not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. In 2 John 1, verse 6 and 5, 2 John 1 says, this is love. It's talking about God's love again. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is a commandment that you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. You know, God tested Israel to see if Israel really loved God or not. God tested Israel. And unfortunately, most of the time, Israel showed that they really didn't love God, that Israel as a nation really didn't love God. Our actions reveal to God the same thing that Israel. Their actions of Israel reveal to God that Israel didn't love God. And our actions reveal the same thing, whether we love God or whether we don't love Him, the way we live our life. That's found in Deuteronomy 13, verses 3 through 4. Deuteronomy 13, verses 3 through 4. He says, you shall not listen to the words that a prophet or that dreamer dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you. The Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So He's testing us. He tests His people. God does that. He says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. If we love God, we will keep God's commandments. If we don't love God, we will not keep His commandments. Keeping God's commandments is the true test of our love toward God. This present evil world, under Satan's influence, hates God. This world hates God right now. And Satan has convinced this world to hate God. Keeping God's commandments is righteousness. Keeping God's commandments is love. Love for God and love for a neighbor. And God's love is a sacrificial love that endures hardship while continuing to do the right thing. 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about God's love, the characteristics of God's love. The characteristics that follow the path of God. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. I'll read that. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And this is talking about God's love that He exercises toward us and that He wants us to exercise toward others. This is kind of His nature that He wants to build into us. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. It's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. Wow, God's perfect. We're not there yet. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. You know, God's word is truth. Rejoices in the truth of God. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God's love never fails. God's love never fails. Doing right is always the right thing to do. Keeping God's commandments is an expression of God's love and righteousness. It's an expression of God's love and righteousness. Point number three. Keeping God's commandments is the foundation for God's love and character to be perfected in us. Keeping God's commandments is the foundation for God's love and character to be perfected in us. God has called us to build His divine nature and character in us. That's the reason He's called us now, preparing us for a future. He's training people now. He always is thinking ahead. He always has, nobody ever gets ahead of God's plan. He's already thought it all out. The people that God will call in 1,000 years will be prepared for by the people He's calling today. But God is trying to build His divine nature and character in us. Our obedience to God's Word allows God to complete that process. In Matthew 7, let's read about building on the right foundation. Matthew 7, Christ speaking, starting in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Drop down to verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, Christ said, He's the Word. He's the Word of God, the living Word of God. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. That's where we want to build, on Jesus Christ. And the rain descended and the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Obeying God is the right foundation for building a life of godly character that will endure the storms of life. Under Satan's rule is like building on sand. It has catastrophic losses. That's what we're witnessing in this world. Living our life by the words of Christ allows God to build His nature into us. 1 John 2 goes into more detail here. 1 John 2, verse 4 through 6. 1 John 2, verse 4. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. The standards are set high for those who God calls. They're set high. They are set very high. They're set on the standard. That's God's standard. We are challenged to follow the example of Jesus Christ and to walk without sin. We're not perfected yet, but we're being perfected as we allow this process to continue, as we daily repent of our sins and we walk with God. We're allowing this, God is helping us, and God is allowing this process to continue on in our lives. Mr. Maxwell's been at it for 45 years, and we're still working. Wherever we start, God wants us to finish that process. The closer we follow the example of Jesus Christ, the more we can grow in the mind of God. And yes, we need help. We need God's Spirit. Because it's an impossible job without God's Spirit. We can't develop the mind of God without having the Spirit of God. But we've got to be willing to follow the process and the path. We have to follow the path and the process that God has established. God established this. We didn't. This is His process. This is His path that He set us on. Now, He knows we need His Spirit. God gives His Spirit to those who obey Him and those who are willing to yield to Him. That's who He gives His Spirit to, those who are willing to follow the path. If a person is not willing to repent of their sins and walk with God, God will not give that person His Holy Spirit. It's that simple. He knows who is truly repentant and who isn't. Disobedience can also cause us to quench God's Spirit if we stop the process. We all need the fire and the power of God's Holy Spirit to lead and motivate us to repent and to walk with God. And when a person does repent and willing to walk with Him that God calls, God will give that person His Holy Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Acts 5 verse 32 says, "We are witnesses to these things," talking about Christ's crucifixion, "and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." See, we have to follow the path. God established the path. God established the process. It's up to us to choose to follow. If we use God's Holy Spirit to walk with God and keep His commandments, God will perfect His love in us in His time. He's going to do that. He's going to perfect His love in us. He's going to perfect His love in His church. He's going to perfect His nature in His people. That is the goal. John 15, starting in verse 10. John 15, verse 10. We'll read 10 through 14. "If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love." That's a promise. "If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love." It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are My friends if you do whatever I command you." Again, God sets the path. We've got to be willing to follow. Romans 5 and verse 5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us." God wants us to prosper. He wants us to prosper physically, but mostly He wants us to prosper spiritually. 1 John 4. Let's go there. 1 John 4, 12 and 13. 1 John 4 says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit." Verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love." That's His nature. "And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." God is trying to build His nature into us. And finally, the last scripture on this point, John 14. John 14, starting in verse 17. John 14, starting in verse 17. "Does the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive," not now, "because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." Verse 21, "He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him." Verse 23, "Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but my Father's who sent me. God will perfect His love and character in us if we're willing to maintain a repentant heart and keep God's commandments. If we're willing to follow the path that God has set for us to the end of our days. Point number four. Keeping God's commandments is a required condition before God will give us the gift of eternal life. Keeping God's commandments is a required condition before God will give us the gift of eternal life. There is absolutely nothing we can do to earn the gift of eternal life. There's nothing a human being can do to say we're worthy of that great gift. There's nothing we can do. If we receive eternal life, it is a gift beyond our comprehension. And there's nothing we can do to earn that great gift that God wants for us. But we can disqualify ourselves from receiving that gift through disobedience. God will not give eternal life to someone who hates Him. Why would He? I mean, doesn't make any sense. He's not going to do it. Anyone who will not willing to follow His path, no, He's not going to give eternal life to. God will not give eternal life to those who hate Him. But God will give eternal life to those who love Him. I mean, He wants to expand His family. He's wanting to give you and I eternal life. He wants that for us. Those who truly love God and keep God's words and commandments, as we have read already, and stay on the path that God has set us on, God wants to give those people eternal life. Let's return to Revelation 14, verse 12. Revelation 14, verse 12. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. It's Revelation 14, verse 12. Now, this is a part of our training for the kingdom of God, to stay on the path that God has set us on. And this is the path that God has set us on. He said, this is the patience of the saints. We're the saints of God. We're the living saints. Most of God's saints have died or in the grave waiting the resurrection. But they followed the path to the end of their lives. They went before us. They set the example to show us it is possible to keep God's commandments to the end of our lives. It is possible to follow God with God's help. It is possible to fulfill the calling that God has set us on. Why would He call us if we couldn't be successful? God will bless those who follow Him to the end of their physical lives. Revelation 22 shows us that. Revelation 22, verse 14. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who do His commandments. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. God has a prescribed process and plan that He has set in motion. And nobody's going to be in His family trying to do it any other way than what God has prescribed. Just the way it is. We have to choose how we're going to live. And our choices determine our fate. Because God will give us the tools to make it if we make the right choices. Blessed are those who do His commandments, it says. Matthew 19. Christ speaking here. Matthew 19, verse 17. Matthew 19, verse 17 says, "So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good?'" Christ speaking. "No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Christ is saying that if we really want to be part of the kingdom of God and to have a right relationship with God, then we are to keep the commandments of God. Christ didn't come to do away with God's commandments. Christ didn't come to do away with the Father's commandments, as the world teaches. It's a bunch of baloney. Matthew 5, verse 17 through 18, and Christ addresses that. He says, "Do not think I came to destroy the law of the prophets." That's Matthew 5, verse 17 through 18. He says, "Do not think I came to destroy the law of the prophets." First five books of the Bible, which contain God's law and Ten Commandments. Don't think I came to destroy that. That's what the world thinks. It came to destroy it. It says, don't think that way. "I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle," that's the smallest stroke of a Hebrew letter, is what that means. "Not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Christ's own words says that the Old Testament scriptures, which includes God's spiritual laws and commandments, will exist and be relevant as long as the universe exists. God backs them up because they're spiritual laws. Talking about the spiritual laws of God, the ones that existed before Mount Sinai. God expects us to keep the letter of the law and be motivated by the spiritual intent of God's law, which is godly love. Love is behind the law of God. That's the motivation behind it. That's the motivation of God giving it to us. It's the love of God. Jesus Christ codified the spiritual laws of God for Israel by inscribing them on tables of stone with his own finger. Now, that was the one who became Jesus Christ that did that. Jesus Christ is not a schizophrenic. He's not double-minded. He doesn't give Israel the Ten Commandments and then later on do away with them. He didn't do that. He wrote them on stone for a carnal nation. He codified his law to show them a path. They didn't keep it, but he was showing them the right path. He was leading them. Then later Christ magnified the spiritual laws of God so we can understand how to deal with our own thoughts and intents of our heart. He says it's not just the letter is concerned about, it's the letter and intent of your mind and your thoughts that go with it. So he challenges us to bring our thoughts into subjection to Him as well. Now, that's a big job. That's the reason we need God's Spirit. We can't do that without the Spirit of God. But that's the path that He set us on. He says, here's the path. But He'll help us do it if we're willing to follow the path. But we've got to be willing. We have to be willing. It is God's purpose to write His laws on our hearts and minds so we can have a nature that is like our Father's in Jesus Christ. Again, Matthew 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." It is the will of God that we keep God's commandments. It is the will of God. In Psalm 37 and verse 18, David addresses our inheritance. Psalm 37 verse 18. You don't have to turn there, but it says, "The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." David knew there was an eternal future awaiting him. And there is for us as well. What a tremendous gift God wants to give to each of His children. Eternal life in the family of God. To inherit the universe. All things. He wants to give us all things. God's laws and commandments show us how to love God and our neighbor. The world has rejected God's commandments and is self-destructing before our very eyes. It's self-destructing. We see it. It's alarming to watch. It is alarming to watch. We knew it was coming, but it's still alarming when you see it. When you see somebody take a semi-truck and run over as many people as they can, there's something wrong with this world. This world's not working. In the end of this age, when the seventh angel sounds the trumpet, Christ will take over the kingdoms of this earth and rule this earth in righteousness. But we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to that seventh angel sounds. Let's read that in Revelation 11. We're about done. Revelation 11 and verse 15. This is also a reality that's coming. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped. It's coming in God's time. So then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ." Notice it said, this world? Christ is coming back to this earth to rule. "Kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Once Christ comes back, man's reign of terror is over forever. Christ will be the King of kings, and He will rule forever. His kingdom will never cease to exist from this earth. God's laws and commandments will be taught throughout the earth and with miraculous results. People will treat each other the way they want to be treated. What's going to be the result of all this? Great peace will come on this earth. Great peace will come on this earth when people learn how to love God and learn how to love His laws. Great peace will be the result, will be the fruit that comes from loving God's law. This world hates God's laws. They hate any control that God may have over a person, any authority. They don't want it. They reject it. And what do they have? Nothing but war. Nothing but turmoil. Nothing but heartache. But God says, great peace have those who love His law. That's coming. Great peace. Let's read about that in Isaiah 2. Last scripture. Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4. Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house," that's the kingdom of God, "the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains." He's going to be ruler of all the nations of the earth. "And shall be exalted above the hills." That's Isaiah 2, verse 2. "And all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths.' For out of Zion shall go forth the law." There's that law again. There's a reason for blessings. "Out of Zion shall go forth the law." The people's going to learn the path. They're going to learn how to live. They're going to learn the path that brings good results. "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." It's hard to conceive. Hard to conceive that that's coming. Can you imagine a world without war? Can you imagine a world without hate and murder? Can you imagine a world that keeps the sixth commandment instead of murdering our neighbor? We love our neighbor. It's coming. As sure as the rising and setting of the sun, God's kingdom is coming. It is a privilege to know and understand the value of God's commandments and laws now, and to avoid the snares of Satan. Because any other way is just a snare of Satan. to catch us and destroy us. It is vital that we never lose focus of what really matters to God as He works with us. The Apostle Paul reminds us of what really matters to God and what should matter to us as well. 1 Corinthians 7, last scripture. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19. This is what matters to God. It says, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters.